Hannah Borg here at the National FFA Convention. I'm talking with Ted McKinney, the former director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture and now the Undersecretary of Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs with the USDA. Let's first start off talking about your involvement in FFA.
Sure, happy to. Well, it started way back in high school. I won't reveal the years, but Tipton High School did like every other FFA member, greenhand, chapter farmer at the time, earned my way up to a state farmer degree, and all the while was chasing a lot of the activities that are so robust in FFA. Mine I focused on was public speaking, always parliamentary procedure when you're in FFA. My SAEs were on the farm. It was a major sweet corn project. We had 2 or 3 acres of sweet corn, and that transitioned into a very large seed corn detasseling operation that my twin brother and I did. So it was those younger years, and it all culminated with a state FFA officership in 1977-78.
We're here in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the National FFA Convention. You played a huge role in getting the National FFA Center to Indiana. Could you talk a little bit about your involvement through that process?
Yes. Before FFA elected to relocate both its center and its convention, I was working at Dow Elanco, which became Dow AgriSciences. Loved it. I was very active in the community. There's a big sports movement then and now here in the city. And when I got word that the convention and then a week later the center might think about relocating, I looked around and said, well, who is going to lead this? And that's when those reflections of leadership that we are taught in FFA came screaming back and said, well, I guess it better be me. So we chased aggressively both the center and the convention. We were very successful with the center. It located here, actually on land that Dow Chemical did a deep, deep discount on. And I think FFA wisely went to Louisville for 7 years because that was before we built Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where we are right now. It was not one, but three expansions ago on the convention center. Indy could have done it, but it wouldn't have been the way we like to do things. So 7 years later, it was rocking and rolling, and we haven't looked back since.
Let's talk about more about how FFA prepared you for your role, helping get the National FFA Convention here, as well as now your current role within USDA.
Sure. Well, I'd say there's two or three things. You are taught in leadership to step up, and you have to rely on the skills that you learn. And so assembling a coalition of people, some who knew ag and FFA, some who did not but were community minded, was very key. How you lead a committee, yes, there was a little parliamentary procedure as we made decisions, but I would say the biggest thing were the echoes and those haunts of themes from Kansas City conventions, things like be bold, don't be afraid, pursue a dream, pay back, do your part. All those kind of came screaming back. So with a terrific advisory committee of CEOs from the community, all who I knew, we chased it and won. And I think we're better because right now, at that time, Indianapolis was just gaga over sports. Still is a good thing. But I think we demonstrated that this business of convention business, of leadership, of youth, was another major theme that we needed to focus on. And since then, we've had Bands of America and countless other youth organizations find Indianapolis, at least for their convention. So I don't know if we caught a wave or started a wave, but it was a little bit in that mix.
You've got a new job title. What has the transition been like now working as the USDA Undersecretary of Trade and Foreign Affairs?
Yeah. Well, it's exciting, and I'm very, very honored to have been asked. I'm humbled. It is an awesome, both in excitement, but also in magnitude and work to be done kind of experience. But it's so funny. I was reflecting with a couple people earlier, the number of skills that come screaming back from FFA days. We hosted the vice minister from Vietnam, and meeting management and how you organize and how you lift up, how you host came back from those days. No parliamentary procedure this time. preparation, how you prepare to make the points that we wanted to make to our friends in Vietnam and they in reverse. And so all of those things just culminate not just on a daily basis, but sometimes on an hour-to-hour basis. How you carry yourself in a phone conversation, how you assert leadership, but be humble about it. I could go on, and we don't have the time for that, but I'll just tell you the skills that you learn in FFA. And I always throw 4-H in there. It's one of the best precursors that FFA could ever have. The combined, plus some terrific parents, a good faith in our church, all those came together and I think helped a great deal, and even so today.
What are some of your top goals now serving in the USDA?
Sure. Well, Secretary Perdue sort of laid that out pretty clearly when he said, I'm going to go sell stuff, and I'm going to be a member of the Million Mile Club, so I think I know I've got my work cut out. I'd say this, we have to either introduce or reintroduce ourselves to a lot of countries around the world. There's a lot of discussion about trade these days. President Trump, I think, is rightfully saying, wait, we're not quite getting a fair shake on things like steel and aluminum or intellectual property or some other industries. All the while, ag has benefited enormously. So how we lift other industries but don't harm ag is a delicate thing to do. And we're right in the mix of that, fighting very hard for agriculture. But my goals are to do right and feed people. That's the Secretary's theme, and I think if we can get it right with our NAFTA partners, get it right with the enormity of China, get it right with Japan, then we'll have maintained the course, but I'm not satisfied there. I think we need to go open up an exchange in new markets, hence my Saturday departure for India. And in November, we will be in Panama, Colombia, and Brazil, and countless other countries after that. So I think we'll earn those million miles or so.
Final question. What message do you want to leave with the almost 65,000 FFA member students here at the National FFA Convention?
I might even envelop that into three. First, understand thoroughly the opportunity that's in front of them while they wear that blue and the gold jacket. Chase them. If you're uncomfortable speaking, go learn to speak. If you don't know parliamentary procedure, learn it. Take your SAE and blow it out of the water, because there's a time when they won't wear that jacket and they'll look back and maybe wish they had done something more. So that's the first thing. The second thing is don't ever stop reflecting on and using the FFA experience. They'll use it perhaps even every day of their life. I have. And I hope I'm a testament that those skills are life skills, and we hear that a lot. And the third thing is just chase the dream. Chase the dream. They can't. Never in a million years when I was a green hand would I have thought that this undersecretary opportunity would have been presented to me. Never. I never thought I'd be the state director of ag, for crying out loud. And look what's presented. And I think it's all based on skill sets that maybe others recognize in you that you may not recognize in yourself. And if you do it right, they can go be Sonny Perdue someday and be a Secretary of Ag or a CEO or whatever their dreams take them to be.
I've been chatting with Ted McKinney, the Undersecretary of Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs with the USDA. For FFA Today, I'm Hannah Borg.